Bible, if you will, to the book of Colossians. Right there in the New Testament. The book of Colossians, chapter 2, if you will. We're going to begin where we were last Wednesday, all right? And we're going to move from there. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Nothing to sink it to. All righty. Colossians chapter 2. Now there's more to hear. Amen. What a blessing. Colossians chapter 2, if you will. One again reading in verse 8. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. This is where we were last Wednesday night. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. And we're going to leave off there for reading for right now. And we're just going to, like I say, jump in. God used the Apostle Paul to warn the Colossian believers about those that would try to come in and steal from them all that they had as believers. And I'm amazed today at how little many believers understand what we do have as a child of God. He warned them, and he said it mattered not if it was philosophy or they tried to use tradition or just plain old deceit or worldliness. He said it doesn't matter what the avenue which Satan or his minions might use to attack their belief and what they had. But he said, look, what the believer has is so great. It's so wonderful. It's so worthwhile that, man, we ought to guard it, we ought to protect it, we ought to treasure it, not let anybody get it away from us, all right? And I talked to you last week, beware lest any man spoil us. Now, notice verse 8. Verse 8 says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, the rudiments of the world, all right, and tradition of men. And notice verse 9 says, for in him. And that for would be like the same as saying because, all right? Beware lest any man spoil you because in him. He said, not if they spoil you and not after Christ. Why? Because in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Hey, listen, because in him we have all that we need. Well, when it comes to the spiritual realm, when it comes to life in Jesus Christ, we have all that we need. That is what we need. We don't need anything else. The key truth, the emphasis here is in him. In him. Look there in verse 9. Verse 9 says, for in him dwelleth. All right. Verse 10 says, and ye are complete in him. Then verse 11 says, in whom? That whom is the him. All right. Same one, all of it, over and over again. What a truth there is for us there, all right? We're complete. We're complete in him. I just want you to stay with me just a few minutes tonight as we think about that. We're complete in him. The fullness of God, I want you to see the fullness of God, first of all, is complete in him. That's what verse 9 says. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You know, we still hear people today that question and even many times deny the deity of Jesus Christ and say he wasn't God. You know, there's plenty of other verses in the Bible, but man, if we just look at that, it's obviously in him we're talking about Jesus Christ. And the scripture says that in him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead, all right? Boy, I want to tell you, I think the terminology there covers all the bases, you know what? And it just takes care of it. All the fullness of the Godhead, that doesn't leave any wiggle room for the naysayers that are out there, all right? How do you erase that? How do you remove that and say, well, he wasn't God? Well, wait a minute. It said in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. How could he not be God? But then it has that word bodily. That word bodily kind of shuts down the argument, all right? God himself appeared on the earth in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Timothy says it this way in the book of Timothy. It says, God was manifest in the flesh. In the flesh. Philippians 2 says it this way. He was made in the likeness of man. All right? Made in the likeness of man. Hey, our Savior came to this earth in a bodily form. Not a spirit. Not a ghost. But a body. All right? And he came in that body, in a body of flesh, took upon himself the form of a servant, made in the likeness of man, all right? Made in the likeness of man. And then the Bible gives us the news that he never sinned. But he was tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now, I want to tell you this, he couldn't have been tempted the way we are, was he not in a body? Because let's face it, a lot of the temptation we have comes through the flesh. Comes this body, all right? It comes that way. We're tempted by the flesh, all right? But our Lord came, lived a sinless life. He was fully and completely God. Fully and completely God. None will ever like him, will walk the face of the earth at any point in the future, at any time. Nobody ever has before him. Nobody will after him, all right? The next time he comes to this earth, it will be as the conqueror, all right? He will come again, but there will be no doubt then. Revelation chapter 1 says every eye will see him. Every eye will see him. He's coming back that way, all right? He's coming back just that way. He's coming back bodily. He came the first time bodily, all right? In him, boy, complete, the fullness of God complete in Jesus Christ. He was as God could be, all right? Just as much God as could ever be, all right? And I want you to see this. The fulfillment is complete in him. Look back at verse 3, would you? Look back at verse 3, the fulfillment for us. Chapter 2, verse 3. It's talking about Jesus Christ. It says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Hey, all of what we need in the way of wisdom and knowledge is found in him. They're found in him. Any wisdom that any man might claim is borrowed from him. Truthfully, any wisdom that's ever been spouted by a human being has its origin and its basis in the Word of God. That's where it is. It's there. Any wisdom out there. Now, a lot of people spouted a lot of things that sound really nifty at the listening, but when you get to listen real close, you realize, hey, they don't mean doodly squat. Just don't add up. But they're nifty little sayings, you know. Things like cleanliness is next to godliness. You know, a lot of people love that. But there's not a word of truth in that, okay? Now, I'm not against cleanliness. I'm in favor of it. I'm in favor of it, but it's not next to godliness, all right? But some people think, well, that's in the Bible. No, that's man's excuse for wisdom, all right? That's man's excuse for wisdom. Boy, listen. All the fullness that we could have, all the fulfillment is complete in him. All that wisdom, knowledge, where do we get it from? Let's get it from him. Let's not go to any philosopher or any egghead, you know, that's out there, any scholar so-called. Let's just stick with the book. Hey, he's complete, and you are complete in him if you're in him. And you're incomplete if you're out of him. You're incomplete if you're out of him. Hey, he's the light for our candle. The psalmist said that the Lord would light my candle. Well, he is the light for your candle. That's it, all right? He's the balm for your soul. You know, we get hurt sometime and we like to put something on them. Last week at school, I had a little boy came to me and he said, I need a Band-Aid. I said, why? And he said, well, there's blood about to come right here. And I said, well, let me look at that. And I looked at it and looked at it. And I said, man, I couldn't even see it. He said, well, it's getting dark red. I said, I don't see it. I think you're going to be all right. So help me. The next day, he's talking to Brother Dunbar, same thing. I need a Band-Aid. I hear Brother Dunbar listen to him. He said, well, where? Right there. He said, well, there's nothing there, all right? I don't know what he was needing, all right? But he you know, a Band-Aid make it feel better, I guess. And they like something like that, kids like that. But, boy, you know, if it'll help, fine. But I tell you what, we got a soul, and the only way you can get to that, the Lord Jesus Christ is the balm for the soul of man. As the Bible said, there is a balm in Gilead, all right? But it's the Lord Jesus Christ. He can put that soothe touch where only he can put it. He is the balm for our soul. John 1 says, in him was life. In him was life. Brother, without him, you're not living. You're not living. There's a ton of people walking around the world today that are dead. And they're not zombies, okay? It's not the night of the living dead. No, it's just the day of a bunch of dead folks because they don't have the light of life in them. And if you don't have the Lord, you're dead. You're not really living. You're only existing. You're just existing. There's a lot of people doing that, all right? A lot of people do that. That's the reason oftentimes you see well-known people that seem to be living the life that the world's consumed with and they blow their brains out. They take an overdose of some kind of dope. Why? Because they're not really living and they can't tackle what their existence is. They just don't have life. Hey, in him is life. In him is life. Fulfillment is complete in him. You said, man, I just wish, you know, I had a fulfilling life. Well, get in the life that is the Christian life. Start living that life. There's where the fulfillment is, all right? There's a reason for living. There's more to live for than money. There's more to live for than fun. Usually that runs out, you know. And there's just more to there's more to live for than looks. The world's crazy about it. But hey, there's just more there. The fulfillment is complete in him. Complete in him. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him. Complete in him. I'll tell you, man, what a blessing it is. Look down at verse 13, would you? Look down at verse 13. Look at that last phrase there, if you will. It says, having forgiven you all trespasses. All trespasses. Just think about that. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is complete in him. Forgiveness. Totally. I like that word all. All. That word means all. You know, I've never had a problem with giving. You know, somebody said, give me all you got, right? Well, what does that mean? Well, that means everything. That means all of it, everything, you know, without exception. And when the Bible says he forgiveth you all trespasses, that means everyone without exception. He forgives them. He forgives them. I don't know about you, but man, I'm so glad to know that. He said, well, preacher, everybody knows that. No, they don't, because a lot of people don't realize that his payment for sin on the cross was complete. Was complete. He tasted death for every man, and he did taste death for every man. And the death that he died, the blood that he shed, was sufficient to pay the sin debt of everybody. That means it's not necessary for you and me to have to worry about spending any time in purgatory completing the payment for our sin. That's just not biblical, okay? You say, well, you shouldn't mock somebody else's religion. I'm just telling you what the Bible, there's no Bible for it, okay? No Bible for that kind of thing. Why? Because our sins, he's forgiven all our trespasses. Now, I'll point out again to you. Go back to Colossians chapter 1, would you? Colossians chapter 1, look at verse 2. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae. I just want you to know we're talking about the saints. Now, you understand as a Bible believer, we understand what a saint is. A saint, somebody's been born again, okay? You've been born again. So that's who we're talking about. And it's those people, he's forgiven you all trespasses. And you don't have to worry about it. You're not going to meet them again. You're not going to meet them again. They've been forgiven. Now, that is a hard thing for us to wrap our mind around. We can say yes, and we can say amen, and we can say whoopee, but it's still hard for us to wrap our mind around the fact we'll never have to face them again. They've all been paid for, all right? But look, if you will, at verse 14. Now, we didn't read verse 14 a while ago, but verse 14 says, he, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. Hey, man, I'm just reading English, okay? Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. If you blot something out, it's not there anymore. Okay, it's not there anymore. So the Bible says, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the ordinance of the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. But then notice, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Hey, man, what a blessing. You talk about something good. You know, he said, man, I gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. We used to sing that chorus years ago. And now my soul is free, and in my heart's a song buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. I shall live eternally. Praise God, my sins are gone. That's the truth. Why? Because forgiveness is complete in him. Forgiveness is complete in him. Forgiveness to the point of, if you were to come up and say, well, Lord, you know, I'm really sorry about what I did back then. You say, what did you do? Because it's forgiven. Complete forgiveness is forgotten. It's gone. Blotting it out. Now, I don't know how you feel about that, but that's the thing, when I look at it, it's hard for me to grasp. Just as a human being. Because we can forgive somebody who wrongs us, but it's a whole other matter to forget it. We can forgive it, but that forgetting is hard because it's there. It's in our mind. We've got it. We don't forget things till we get dementia. Then we forget stuff, all right? And it's a sad day when that's true, you know. But hey, we understand. Maybe I shouldn't say we understand. We believe, because we believe the Bible, that he has blotted out that handwriting of those ordinances. They have been forgiven, all right. The ones that, hey, I like it, the ones that were contrary to us. Wouldn't you like to be able to do that? Wouldn't you like to be able to go through things that are contrary to you and just get rid of them? Wouldn't that be a good thing? You know, I just get rid of that stuff that's contrary to me. I don't have to worry about it anymore. I'll get rid of it, so there's no problem anymore. Be done with it. Think about the physical problems you have. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you could just get rid of those? Just the ones that are contrary to me. Now you, that's your problem. I'm talking about the ones that are giving me trouble, all right? Yeah, I'm just talking about that. This morning, passed a kidney stone, all right? It seemed to be kind of on an irregular, regular basis, you know, that I do it. And it'd be good to just get rid of that. I don't have trouble with that anymore. It'd be wonderful to be able to get rid of the problem of weight. All fat people would like to be able to do that. We'd like to be able to say, man, it's dumb, and I eat all I wanted to, or whatever I wanted to, and not have to worry about it. That stuff's contrary to us. Boy, how much better it is that the Bible said that's what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. He's, all of our trespasses are forgiven. He's blotted out the handwriting of the ordinances, all right, that are contrary to us, all right? They're gone, and it says, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Oh, my soul. I don't know about you, but that's good enough for me. That's good enough for me. He did what I couldn't do. He did what no one else could do. Hallelujah. But look at the next verse. Look at verse 14. Verse 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. All right? Triumphing over them in it. An open show. Not something done in secret. But I mean, he showed it off. He said, here it is. Openly, I've taken care of it. I've taken care of it. When he went to the cross, he hung before everybody, openly taking care of our sin. Our sin. Hey, what a good thing. Hey, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that we have complete forgiveness in him. It's for complete. Hey, not only that, our future is complete in him. Just think about it. We talk about the present, but the future is complete in him, all right? Go look at verse 11 and 12. It says, in whom also you're circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you're risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Here's another picture of eternal security. The Bible said, circumcised without hands, putting off the body, the sins of the flesh. That old body, that old flesh, it might still sin, all right, because it's not been redeemed. It might still sin, but the soul of the saved man doesn't. Soul of the saved man doesn't sin. You said, preacher, how does that work? Well, that's because God's in it. It's because God's in it, all right? The soul doesn't do it. Why? Because of that circumcision. God's cut that old flesh loose, all right? And it doesn't harm the soul anymore, all right? Then we see in the next verse, let no man therefore, going back to not the next verse, verse 12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you're risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Oh, what a picture this is. The faith of the operation of God. Hey, that's what it is. It's God's operation, not ours. Well, we talk about eternal security. People think, well, I'll lose it. Well, you would if it's your operation. But it's not your operation. God did it. God did it. He's the one who took care of it. It's his business. You came to him and you said, I want your salvation, and I trust you as my Savior. And then that little act of baptism bears witness of the fact that the old man's been buried with Christ. And then he's raised to walk in newness of life, signifying, hey, I've been born again. I'm not the same person I was before I got saved, all right? My future's taken care of because I'm complete in him. I'm in him, and if you're saved, you're in him, all right? We're safe. We're secure in him because our sin's under the blood. What a blessing. What a wonderful acknowledgement of our future is done. You said, what are you worried about? Nothing. Nothing. Everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be good shape. Hey, we're going to be with him. Now, we may go in the back of the hearse, or we may not ride that hearse because the Lord may come first, all right? And we'll be taken out of here, and I hope that's the way I go, all right? I hope that's the way I go. I hope to just hear the trump of God. We'll all be whooped out of here and be gone. But I know this, no matter which way it is, future's secure. The future's settled. Now, the present is kind of rocky. The present's kind of shaky. We don't know what'll happen during the present, but the future's taken care of. Future's taken care of, man. We may go through some rocky places to get where we're going, but we know where we're going. We know we're going to get there. Why? Because our future is complete in him. In him. That's where we are. We're in him. In Christ Jesus. Let me just finish by saying this. Our fellowship is complete in him. Too many Christians only consider salvation as it affects their future. Okay? I'm saved, so I'll go to heaven when I die. I was listening last night, or I guess it was early this morning, maybe, the tragedy of the policeman killed. And I was listening to his brother talk about, you know, where he was going, but there was a little bit of unsureness there. And I don't know if you heard that, and I thought, boy, how sad. How sad. You know, it was like, you know, he said he's in a better place, and I can't remember now exactly how he said it. I think, or I believe, maybe, you know. But that wasn't assured. Look, if word came that you had been taken out of this life, I wouldn't say, well, I'm kind of hoping they're in a better place. I've got the assurance of your testimony of what you did when you trusted Christ, got that assurance. I wouldn't say, well, you know, hopefully we'll, and then he said, I hope to see him again one day. And we don't, that's not the way we talk. It wasn't that confident assurance and hope that we have as a Christian. It was a maybe so, think so, and man, I hope it'll work out, you know, maybe. Boy, what a shame. What a sad thing that is. Listen, there's far too many Christians that their salvation is more looked upon like, as somebody said, fire insurance. I'm not going to have to burn in hell. I just want you to know there's so much more. We're to be enjoying eternal life right now. We're to be enjoying eternal life right now. I have them call. I don't know if y'all are getting these kind of calls. I'm getting these kind of calls on my cell phone. And they say, we know, we'll give you a deal. We got a deal for your final expenses. It'll pay for everything. I told the guy on the phone, I said, I ain't dying. I said, I'm not going to die. He said, huh? I said, I'm not going to die. He said, everybody dies. I said, I'm not going to. I'm not going to do it. Man, listen, I'm enjoying eternal life right now. I'm enjoying. Now, wait a minute. Oh, yeah, this old shell may kick off. But I'm not going to. I'm going to live forever, all right? That means I've got eternal life. If you've got eternal life, you've got it now. It's not what happens when you cease to breathe and your heart quits beating and there's no more brain activity. Well, maybe it is that, because there's a lot of people who don't have much brain activity. At least they don't seem to nowadays. But, hey, it's there. You've got it. You ought to be enjoying it right now. We're not in the physical presence of our Lord, but He's given us the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit of God lives within us, all right? He's taken up residence. We're in Him, and He's in us. Well, folks, that makes it real easy to have some wonderful fellowship with Him. This wonderful fellowship with Him. Take your Bible to Romans chapter 8, would you? Romans chapter 8, just a couple of verses tonight. Romans chapter 8, just reminding of your Bible truth, okay? Romans chapter 8, verse 14, the Bible says this, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit also beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Hey, I belong to Him. I'm His. And I can commune with that Spirit of God that's in me. You can too. Now the problem is we just need to sometimes get drawn away from all the cares and the noise in this whole world. And if we'll get away from that, we'll just take a little time to spend with Him. I just want to tell you, you can have some good fellowship. You say, well, I don't have anybody else around. That's a good time to fellowship with the Lord. Everybody's gone. Good. All right. Just spend a little time with Him. Commune with Him, all right? Enjoy that fellowship. Enjoy, the Bible talks about the peace that passes all understanding. I'll tell you, the best time to enjoy that's when you're in fellowship with Him. Fellowshipping with Him. Boy, there's peace. There's peace. No struggle. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying fellowship is complete in Him. Thank God that we can be complete in Him. Hey, because of that, don't let anyone rob you of that assurance and of that confidence, that faith. Don't let somebody come along and take that away from you deceitfully through philosophy and tradition. It's amazing how much of all that stuff seeks to take away the peace, the promise we have in the Word of God that we're complete in Him. We're complete in Him. I'll be honest with you, humanly speaking, it makes sense that eternal security would not be true. Because if you and I were God, that's the way we'd be. You do me wrong, I'll fix your wagon. You know, well, I wouldn't do it just for any little thing, I know, but enough repetitions of it, we're done with you. Write them off. And human speaking, we understand that. That's the way we'd do it. But God's not us. He's God. What a blessing. We're complete in Him. Don't let people steal the truth. Don't let people rob you, spoil you, take that away from you. Don't let that happen to you. If you just stick with the book, believe what the Bible says, when somebody's got to go through a long, convoluted argument, you figure they're taking you down the wrong road, okay? Just don't go with them. Don't let that happen. God said, hey, you beware. Why? For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him. You're complete in Him. Heavenly Father, would you help us tonight? Help us see the truth of the Scripture. Lord, help us to hold on to the truth. Help us to believe it. And Lord, help us to live it. Help us to enjoy all that you've given to us.